Hey guys, what's up? It's Simone.
Hey guys, it's Jay.
And welcome to the Dating Game Podcast.
Woo!
Whoop whoop!
Good, whoop, good.
How are you? We're on a roll, man.
We are on a roll.
Flowing.
There's just a lot to talk about when it comes to dating. A lot.
You sound so enthusiastic. Yes.
I'm being serious. There's a lot to talk about.
There is. I feel like people will guess that this is quite close to the dating fatigue episode that we did.
I mean, give it away, Simone. Bloody hell.
No, but just in that, you know, obviously, like, we're not in a, oh my gosh, I'm dating kind of phase. We're in like a, right, let's pause, reflect, and move forward kind of phase of dating, I think, which I think is also part of it. I think you can plow through and go on 1,000 dates, but
yeah,
I think when you can sort of, when you have a break or when you're kind of not in that space, but you use that time to reflect and kind of get like a plan together or just kind of do a little bit of soul searching in between, I think that's also a part of the dating stage, the dating game.
Yeah. Dating is on and off, up and down, round roundabouts, until you find your the one or settle down. But we have to, like you said, allow time to breathe. I think that's basically where we're at right now. We're definitely where I am at right now. I don't need someone at the moment. I think I would rather analyze, review, and then crack on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, just being comfortable with yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And obviously the older you get, the more you reflect on your past and you're thinking, oh, okay, oh, that's what I did, oh, that's how I did it, and this is how I can improve and blah blah blah. It's, yeah,
that's why I did it as well. It's the why. I think you start to kind of understand a bit more. Well, I guess, again, talking for myself, I think I ask myself why a lot. Why did that happen that way? Why did I react in that way? Why did he react in that way to what I was saying or doing? And then that's, I think that's when you really kind of get into the nitty gritty. But it's hard, man. It's hard admitting that sometimes you were wrong and sometimes you did foolish things. It's hard. I think that's why I give so many people second chances or third or fourth or fifth chances, because I often think to myself, like, oh, was I wrong in that situation? Should I have handled that differently? Should I give them a different chance to kind of, sorry, should I give them another chance to sort of show them this is the correct, or show myself this is the correct way to behave in a certain way? But you can't rewrite history.
You cannot. It shapes, it builds your experiences, it builds your next steps somewhat, you know. But I think it's okay to reflect, and I think it's interesting that you related that to guys, giving guys chances. I don't even think about it like that. I just think in terms of myself, I don't think about other people.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
I mean, you know, I have my flaws, and there are moments that I give other people the benefit of the doubt because I try to look at my flaws. And then I'm like, oh, maybe it wasn't them. Maybe it was me. Maybe I should give them a chance and try to act differently. And then we end up in the same roundabout because it was both of us. Or we brought out the worst sides in each other. And that's also quite hard to accept. But
that's very true. So today, so we've done... By the time this comes out, we would have done daddy issues. So we're going through it, guys. I think the next one we should look at is siblings as well. So we're going through the family, what's it called? Family reunion stage. Family reflecting about how...
Joking.
It's true. It's how
Do
family
you think your siblings affect how you date?
No, I think it's your positioning, not your siblings. Oh, if somebody's siblings does affect them, that's quite deep.
My siblings affect my dating life.
That's very deep.
My brother scares them away. It's the problem that I have. Yeah, no, it's mad. I don't think anyone's siblings actually affect the dating, but yeah, maybe the positioning, maybe.
Yeah, because like I said, okay, I'm going to talk about this another time, but middle child syndrome is real. Being the first child is real. Being the youngest is hell yeah real. God. So yeah, we have to unpack that, and I think we should get a variety of different people, because I'm firstborn, you're middle child, we need someone that's the youngest. We definitely need the youngest up in here. Maybe a guy as well, because you get mummy's boys. Yeah, get them all on there. Get them all on here. Get them all on here.
I think we can definitely agree that your experiences in your formative years, so your formative relationships, definitely have an effect on how you are when you're older. It's just weird how it affects different people in different ways. Like you and your brother, for example, have the same upbringing. Like, I mean, near enough. Obviously, things change as time goes on, but you have near enough the same upbringing.
Yeah,
but you might have a completely different aspect or outlook on relationships, and it's weird, you know. But
definitely 1,000,000%. Yeah, but today we're talking about mummy issues, and again, this is something that hasn't really been highlighted in the media. We don't really talk about mother issues. The only time that it's spoken about or mentioned is being a single mother, that kind of energy or that kind of look on things, but not saying that it's an issue. I don't know. What about you? Do you hear a lot of things about mummy issues? Do you hear that at all?
Not really. It's definitely not as much as daddy issues. I think people are now starting to talk more about their relationships with their mums and sometimes their toxic relationships with their mums. But I've noticed it a lot in my dating life. And actually, I was speaking to my mum about it. I've just been telling her, because I've talked to my mum about everything, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. So I was telling her, I met this guy and his relationship with his mum is like this. Or this guy's relationship with his mum is like this, or his outlook on women is like this. And my mum was like, a lot of these men have a lot of mother issues. Like, what's going on here? And I never really thought about it like that. And then I did think about it and I thought, actually, yeah, like you hear a lot about mummy boy. Mummy boys, right? That's how you say it, mummy boys.
Yeah, mummy boys. Yeah.
It sounds weird when I said it. Yeah. But anyway, you hear a lot about them. But then you don't really hear a lot about men who resent their mothers. And that is actually very common. That happens a lot, I think.
Oh, yeah, it does happen a lot. It does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you come across it as well?
Not resent. Oh, that's a bit of a profound and deep. I think it's more like they had issues with how maybe they did certain things or how hard and tough love. I think I've heard that tough love. So for me, what I've realised, a lot of men, they'll talk about the tough love from their grandma or the women figures in their family, which will either make them strong or like, oh, my mum did this and this is how I think things should be. Or it's like, my mum did this and she was crazy. So it's either one or the other, which is quite interesting, the two differences.
Yeah, it's true. You're right. Yeah, there are those two differences, and it's really bizarre to see and to hear about. But then also for girls as well, I think girls also have, and we don't talk about this enough, but you know, a lot of women do have issues with how they were raised by their mothers, and a lot of that kind of trauma or a lot of that those experiences have affected how they are today, and then how they also form relationships with people. And because obviously us as cisgendered heterosexual women, we often think about obviously dating men, and then obviously how our relationships with our dads has affected how we date men, etc. But there's also something about our relationships with our mothers, and also then how that affects our relationships with men also. I would argue that it's more of a mirroring thing, not mirroring, but like the role of a mother is of course to show their children love, but I think also to show them how to love. And I think a lot of women find that they don't know how to love because they never saw their mother love, or their mother never taught them how to love, which is slightly different to maybe what society will say the role of a man is, and the role of a man is to love rather than to show how to, if you understand what I mean, in the case of a daughter.
Do you think more practical then? Are you talking about more practical sense or?
No, not practical. It's more of a, I don't know how to put it. It's like a father loves his daughter.
Mm.
And then when a daughter goes out into the world, she's looking for a love as strong as her father's or more, right? Then a mother loves her daughter, but she's not going out to find a love like her mother. She's going out to find a love. She's taking, her mother is showing her how to love, if you know what I mean. So rather than feeling the love from a mother and then going out and trying to find that same love, her mother has to show her how to love a man. And then that's what she goes out and that's what she seeks.
I think it's very interesting. You speak about that, Alyssa, a lot. I've heard of listening to you, and you're saying about, you know, the first love is from women is their dad, and the dad kind of showing his affection to a woman and taking that on. But I don't know. I know what you're saying. I know the obvious sense of what you're saying, but I think it's too literal. I don't, maybe subconsciously, maybe it's true, but I don't think it's like that. I think it's a bit different. You could argue, yeah, your first love is your dad, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know about that statement. I do think about it. When you say it, it does make me think, is that true? Am I looking for some love from my dad? I think they're both very unique loves. I'm just thinking, because you've mentioned it a few times. I'm just thinking about what I think about it. So do you think that you go out to, so you think that you don't go out to find a similar love that you have with your mum? You don't go out to find that because you feel that it's different because you're heterosexual. Do you mean, what does that mean?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know if it's just because of the things that I've seen and looked at and read or whatever, but I think that would make sense. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because you're not going out seeking qualities of your mum in a man, because that's different. It's different. Whereas, as a woman, we might go out and seek qualities that we see in our father, or men might go out and seek qualities in women that he sees in his mother. But true. When it comes to the same, it's different. So the role of the mum in love, in like romantic relationships later on in life, is slightly different. In that, I think a mother. Of course, yeah. This is where it becomes complicated, because of course, if you're not loved by your mother, you will have difficulties finding love in life. Of that, I think that's scientific somewhere. So don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's scientific. If obviously
as a man or as both
as a woman, as both.
Oh,
both.
Okay.
If you don't have love from your primary caregivers, you will struggle to love later on in life. I think that's
right.
Pretty much fact, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
So. Of course, you need to be able to find, you need to be able to feel love from your parents. But I do feel like as a woman, we expect, or we, society tells us that we need to be shown how to love. And I think a lot of women, that the mummy issues that they have when it comes to relationships in later on in life, is that they never saw love. They never saw their mother give love, or they never saw their mother be affectionate to a partner, or to even to them, and then that never taught them how to then go on and love a partner. So I don't know, it's maybe I'm saying the same thing for both men and women. Maybe I've just kind of gone around in the circle, but I think, yeah, the role of a mother and the role of a father is different. In then how we then form relationships later on in life.
Yeah, 100%. So I think, as if it's a guy, they always say, oh, you remind me of my mum, or you remind me of my grandma, don't they? They always have this thing like, because I think what they're trying to do is find a partner that when they become mothers, that's what they want them to be. Not because they're romantically falling in love with them because they remind their mum, but it's what they could be as a mum. They want them to mirror them. Yeah. So I think maybe for a woman, daddy's girl love, so to speak, she might be thinking, oh, I'm finding a guy to, if they were a father, this is what I think they should be, I guess. Yes. Not romantically. I think that's where I'm getting a bit confused. I don't understand what you meant, but yeah, obviously not romantically, but okay. Yeah. So that clarification. Yeah, it's true. So when
I think Freud might argue romantically also.
Yeah. Freud will do that. Yeah. Because he's had loads of theories about mum, like sons actually fall in love with their mum and all this craziness, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's a bit too deep. Not Freud.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you think explain your mom's, you and your mom's relationship, and do you think it influences your dating life at all, like at any extent?
Why are you laughing?
Because of your face.
Oh yeah, I mean, I have to be so careful what I say. I'm not trying to bait my mum up in any way. Not there's anything to bait her up about, but you know, you just don't want to like tell anyone.
You want to protect your mum. It's fine.
Of course. Yeah, of course. My mum is a hopeless romantic deep down. Like she comes across like really straight, and she is very straight. She's very matter of fact about a lot of things, but she's always that one that's like, oh, have you messaged your ex from 5 years ago? You know, how's he doing then? Oh, is there any chance? Is there any? And you're like, mum, just get over it. Like, that was a long time ago. And so her optimistic side of love, I think I definitely have inherited to a degree. I'm probably a little bit more like, I'm probably a little bit more ruthless than my mum is. But I think I've definitely inherited that. And when I was younger, I always wanted my mum to have a boyfriend. I've always been like, oh, I really want my mum to have a boyfriend. And like, oh, I just want her to just...
Oh, that's so cute.
When my stepdad came along, because he was the only boyfriend that I'd ever seen her to have.
Yeah.
So when he came along, I was so excited at first. Like, oh my gosh, my mum's got a boyfriend, you know, just, you know, so excited. And I don't even know where that came from. But yeah, it's interesting. But my mum isn't very lovey-dovey. Like, she's not very lovey-dovey. She's a very affectionate with us when she wants to be. So
yeah,
like, you know, if we put, my mum will always laugh. She'd be like, oh, you always had your head on my shoulder. And I was so annoying. I had to like shake it off.
That's so funny.
Because you're just always resting your head on my shoulders, like when your head was heavy. But like, but you know, she'd always, I guess she wasn't the most affectionate, but then she'd always welcome us whenever she could, kind of thing. And yes, yeah, so I think in terms of affection, maybe I've inherited a little bit of that from her, but I don't know. I think it's strange, because whenever I think of my mum, because I didn't because of those formative years, I didn't see her in a relationship. And she was always by herself. I never saw her as a woman, as a woman, full stop. I saw her as my mum. And I think seeing your mum as a woman is something that comes later on. And that is actually, oh my gosh, it's mind blowing. Seeing your mum as a woman, and then hearing stories back, then with the knowledge that your mum is actually a woman and not just your mum, it's mind blowing. Then you're like, oh my gosh, now I get everything. I understand it all.
That's very true, actually. I do agree with that. Yeah, definitely. Okay, and I would say you're extremely close to your mum. Like, I think you have a really good relationship. You talk to your mum about a lot of things, and you always say, like, I'm gonna speak to my mum, I'm gonna get that advice, and it's part of your conversation and stuff, which is, it's good. I think you're right. When you get to a certain age, you're thinking your mum was there previously your mum was there at the age of 27, 28, whatever. I always think, like, my dad had me at 29, I think it was. I'm thinking, I'm 29, so I don't know what the hell he was thinking.
By the time my mum was my age, she had me and my brother, she had two.
Wow.
I know people our age do have 2-3 children.
Yeah, of course. But when it's your mom and dad, it's different.
Yeah. Because you're literally imagining yourself with two kids.
Yes.
You know, in your own house, working full time, and you're just thinking, how?
How, what, why, how? Yeah, that was just interesting. So I don't know. Do you think that when you're dating, do you feel that you tell your date, people that you date, that you, how close you are to your mom? Like, I know it sounds silly, but do you ever mention that, like, this is my relationship with my mom? Or do you say, oh, you have to meet my mom? Like, you know, those people that, do you remember that episode? I think it was Australian, where the mom and the daughter do everything together. I can't remember what it's called. It's like a documentary. And basically, they do everything together. Like, they literally do everything. And there was one scene, I think it's something on TLC or something like that. There's one scene where this girl was going on a date and she was like, of course I'm going to bring my mum one day. And I was looking at her like, wrong. That was like, that's a bit much.
Wow, that's too far. You know, it's so funny actually that you say that, because I have to be so careful, because I do tell my mum everything.
Mm.
I have to be so careful when I'm dating to be like, and I tell my mum this, that, and like, I have to be so careful, because then also, because I am a mummy's girl, I don't want to come across as a mummy's girl. I want to come across as an independent woman. Do you know what I mean? So I have to be so careful how much I mention my mum. I have to be careful how much I mention my mum. Obviously, yeah. I think it becomes quite clear that I'm quite early on that I'm close to her.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I do bring her up. I bring my mum up because I think I always want to know about the guy's relationship with his mum.
Okay, so you do
quite early on,
right? Yeah. Okay.
So I bring up my mum. Not that it's, oh yeah, I'm really close to my mum. I'm just saying, like, oh, my mum. I might say, you know, this is my mum, and you know, blah, 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 in order to kind of get them to open up about how close they are with their mum, because you know, I have dated men who are like, my mum's a witch, or you know, they say like
witch
mean things about their mum. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Like, extra. You know, I just don't get on with my mum, or like, I just, you know, I just whatever. And it's really hard, because I can kind of, you know, you start to fear, is this how you feel about women? Why is it this way? And obviously I can't judge them, because I don't know what they've been through with their mother. But I used to look at them, their situation, and be like, oh, that's, you shouldn't treat your mum like that. You shouldn't say that about your mum. You shouldn't this, that, and the other. But it's not up to me, because I don't know what they've been through. So, but I'd be like to know from quite early on how they get on with their mum. So yeah, I will bring up my mum, but I have to be so careful not to say, oh yeah, tell my mum this, that, and the other. Or
yeah,
my mum thinks this about you. yeah.
You know what, I think actually, in to the point where you said, like, if they call their mum a witch, whatever, you know what, because we have relationships with our mums, and you would just think, I would never call my mum a bitch. I would never call my mum. Like, it's just like, it just, especially with our culture as well, we just wouldn't do that, you know? But at the end of the day, mothers are human beings, and human beings can be evil and they could be horrible and they could be very bitchy. And although we want to be like, why can't you just mend that relationship? Why can't you do it? You don't know what they've done. And, you know, I've heard some really horrific stories of people being abused and whatever. And I'm actually thinking, wow, like, I understand it. Although we want to mend the world and say, oh, because we have a great relationship with our mum or whatever, everybody needs to have that. People can be really evil. That's what I can say. Really horrible. Yeah. And it's sad, because that's meant to be that's one of the most important bonds, isn't it, on earth, you know, between a mother and a child. The mother has, you know, carried you for 9 months, you know, that's meant to be the ultimate bond in the world, right? And that, for some people not to have that relationship, it's difficult. It can be difficult.
Yeah, no, definitely, it's hard for us to understand that, but I think we have to take ourselves out of it and just kind of realize that, yeah, everybody's stories are different. So yeah, I mean, yeah, how definitely. About you? So what about your, what's your relationship with your mum like? Because I know that you're you are close to your mum, and you do have a really strong relationship.
Yes.
But how does that translate into sort of today and into your dating life?
Yeah, so I think my relationship with my mum is good now. It's good. And I think when I was younger, and when you mentioned about understanding womanhood and being a woman and going through maybe turbulence in their life, not understanding until you're actually at that age, that definitely was really real for me. So my mum struggled a lot with not being with my dad. And I feel like she was really angry about it, and she was very like just really upset by it. And I think what happened, it leaked into our everyday life. We heard about it all the time. It was very negative. And what happened, I became very resentful because I didn't understand. I was quite very young. And then I became angry at my mum because I didn't understand. I thought it was my mum kind of pushing away my dad. Obviously, when I got older, I understand and have more clarity. But I was very angry because I didn't understand. And I think this is what happens with single parents, especially that who don't move on. So my mum hasn't found anybody at this point, and that's the whole of my life. So what happens is people underestimate this. And I think, again, I don't know what you're going to say, but it wasn't Kevin Samuels that said it, by the way. It was on his show. And what happened, a woman came on and said a similar situation to mine. And to be honest, I haven't really heard anybody talk openly about being about single parents. Yeah, we know they go through struggles, but actually about the single parents' feelings. I've never really heard someone else talk about it. Like, this is how they felt. So the woman came on and she goes, I was brought up with a single mom that I still saw my dad, but the pain that she had kind of leaked into how I feel about relationships. And she goes, what I was doing, and she had a son, is that I was mothering the son, but telling her daughter, I think she had a daughter too, but telling her daughter that she doesn't need a man. And I really believe, and I was crying because I was so emotional. I was like, I feel like that's almost what's happened to me subconsciously, not on purpose, but because, and this is what I was trying to mention, the daddy issues. And that's what I said to you about having a stepdad. It is good, because what it is that my mom's almost been, not saying that she hates men. She's never said that, because she loves her son and the men around her. But what happens is, as a single parent, especially when you haven't moved on, your pain is then told to your children subconsciously. It doesn't even have to be consciously. And what happens, it almost tells you that you don't need anybody. You can survive on your own. And what happens, it leaks into your head. So like I said, when my dad used to come, it was like elements, moments of happiness. But when he left, it was like World War III. You know, my mom was very strict. My mom said a lot of things about my dad, things that, you know, it took a long time for me to forgive. But it's only because of the pain that she was going through. And it's not until my later life I forgave her now. But I think at the time, she could have probably went through, she probably needed extra, you know, therapy. And that's probably myself too. And I think it's really important, especially those that have mums that have not moved on. It's a different situation. I think it's very, like, it's hurtful. Because like you said, you wanted your mum to move on. We still do. It's not that we don't want to. So I think, like I said, the relationship with mom is very interesting. And how it affects me with dating is that what I've realized is that, as I mentioned in daddy issues, is that I've tried so hard not to be like that, because everybody wants to find love, right? And it's not that I don't want to be like my mom. I don't want to be in the same situation as my mom. So what I realize I'm doing, as probably people have heard in the podcast, that I overcompensate. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go above and beyond. I'm going to buy you everything. I'm going to do it because I'm trying to be that person that I think my mum was or is. But actually, it doesn't work like that, because maybe my mum overcompensated, but I didn't see that. So I think it's an ongoing process of learning. But what I've realised in my dating life is that I try too hard to try and not be like my mum and dad's situation. Because again, I don't know what that relationship should be. And no relationship is perfect. But I think you're constantly trying to seek and understand what is the ideal, but there's no ideal because every relationship is so different. So, but it's a learning. You know, I'm 29 to say this. I probably couldn't tell you that 2-3 years ago. So I think it's definitely a time that you learn and see how it can influence your life, your dating life. Yeah.
Have you ever spoken to your mum about that?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Again, I know you probably think it's crazy. When I first was listening to Kevin Samuels, this is what it is. It's not Kevin Samuels. It's the stories that people come on with. It's not him. It's the people that reveal themselves. And I remember saying to my brother, listen to this girl. Like, I just was so shocked that they'll be so open with it to this random guy. And not at the time, my brother was like, this is rubbish. Why are you listening to this crap? Whatever. He hates me listening to it. But he was like, oh yeah, this is quite deep. Because again, it's finding people that are going through similar situations. So when that was happening, I was saying to my mum, like, you know, do you ever think this? Do you ever think that? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Because obviously my mum's an older woman now. So she's like, yeah, you know what? That probably did happen. And I'm like, thanks. But at the time, I probably couldn't have told her about that. But obviously she's older now. It's like she's more relaxed. She can't be bothered. She's tired now. She doesn't talk about these things. But when we was younger, if I even mentioned anything, that, mate, that would be World War III. It wouldn't be a happy time. So, yeah.
It's so hard to talk to your mum about these kinds of things, because they do get defensive, of course, because they're protective of themselves, and they obviously feel like they're doing the best thing for their children as well. It's interesting what you said about mothers like mollycoddling their boys, single mothers mollycoddling their boys, and then being extra kind of giving that tough love to their girls, and the tough love being like the reality checks, that, oh, you better know that men aren't shit. Like that kind of thing. Not saying that your mum ever said that to you, but in so many words, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that it's interesting that mothers feel the need to parent their girls in that way. Because of course, girls need the same sort of compassion, the same sort of love, the same sort of like tenderness as boys do. And boys need to be loved back too. The one thing I think my mum has always been good about calling out my brothers. Like when my brother got married, she said to his now wife, she was like, if he ever messes up, you come to me, yeah? You come to me. I'm like, Mum, like, what are you saying that on the wedding day for? Like, can you just calm down, please? Like,
no, that's good. Like,
she's always been like quite honest in that way. And I think for me, when we talk about relationships, when we talk about dating, my mum, it took me a long time to get to that point, obviously, like I've not always been open. There's definitely a few good years of my dating life that my mum does not know about. And then I might drip feed her bits now here and then. And she'd be like, oh my gosh, you never told me that. Why did you not tell me that? And I'm like, Mum, I can't tell you everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm a grown woman, or I'm going through it. Do you know what I mean? But when I sort of do tell her like the darker sides of my dating life, she'll say to me, she'll be real, she'll say, Simone, don't do that, or don't go down that road, or I've been there. And that's it. And it's really interesting, because I think, you've been there, like you've been in that situation. And then I again, it's coming back to that, no, she's a woman first, she's a woman, then she's a mother. You know, before you become a mother, you're a whole person, you're a whole girl, you're a whole woman, you're living your life, and you have been through these situations. And I even think about my grandma now as well. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my grandma, I wonder what she's out here doing before she met my granddad.
Can we not do that, please?
No, in like I wonder how many dates she went on. I wonder if she had any proposals before my granddad. You know, back in the day, they used to propose for anything, innit? So I remember, like, you know, I wonder who she dated before him, and what they were like, and all these kinds of questions, you know. It would be so interesting to understand. But yeah, I think so. Before I got to that point where I could go to my mum and with these things, and we could talk about these things, and I understood, and I went to her for advice, there was a period where I was looking at my mum and I was thinking what not to do. And it's, you know, naturally, you know, your mother has gone before you, and she's done things that you will later then maybe encounter. And I was really worried about getting into a cycle of just history repeating itself. And of course, I'm grateful that I'm here. I'm grateful that I was born. I'm grateful, you know, that we were all born or whatever. But I had for a long time, I've lived in fear of repeating the past mistakes of both my mum and my dad. And there were a couple of times where I kind of thought, oh my gosh, am I going down that route? Have I gotten myself into that? And then having to take a step back, because I, I mean, I really do believe in cycles. I don't know why they happen. Some people say it's spiritual. Some people will say that it's, you know, psychological. You just subconsciously, you see things, or subconsciously you live things and then you live things again. I don't know why, but I do think cycles happen. And I do think it's up to us to consciously be aware so that we can break them.
Okay, yeah. I don't believe in cycles. I think we are the owners of our future. We have to be accountable. But I understand what you're saying. I do get it. But I try, when it comes to things like that, I try and just think I'm accountable. I have to be accountable because we only have one life. And I think
we are accountable, but that's I think that's you being aware of that. Because if you're not aware, I do think subconsciously you do fall into the same traps.
Yeah. Maybe because I don't want to be, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I think I'm not as open with my mum about my dating life because I feel like it will hurt her because of where she is in life. I feel like if I tell her that I'm doing something that maybe she doesn't want me to do something similar to what she did or whatever, she'll be more hurt. She'll be like, I can't believe, like, you know, she'll feel really upset because she'll think it's her. She'll blame herself immediately. So I'm actually more conscious, and that's why I don't talk to my mum about things, and that's why I don't expect her to listen to the podcast, because it might break her heart. You know, I don't tell her everything, and I'm very much aware of my mum's feelings. You know, she's very, like, emotionally led in that sense. So I just know that I don't want to break my mum's heart, so I'm not going to tell her the things that she doesn't need to see, and especially the turbulence of my last relationship. She'll be really upset if that happened again. So I think I'm very aware of what I say to my mum. I do tell my mum a lot of things, but not a lot of things. Yeah, I don't tell her. I choose what I say to her only because I don't want to hurt her.
So you're protecting your mum.
Yeah, definitely, 1,000,000%. Every mum, you know, that cares about their daughter or son, whatever, they want them the best for them. They want to know, you know, that they're doing okay and they're smiling and happy and all this stuff. So if you just constantly go in and say, oh, that wasn't successful, oh, I can't do that, it's not going to be good for mum's heart physically and mentally. So I'd rather not. Sometimes I do talk to my dad about stuff, actually, ironically, not about Met. I can't explain. It's only if it really bugs me, like, only if I'm like, I just need to know, like, what do you actually think? And that's really rare. Like, my dad would be like, this is very rare, like, for you to even pick up the phone and talk to me about this is very rare. But that's when I'm in desperate need. I need to know what's going on.
Is your dad quite good at not asking follow-up questions?
I think, again, you know what? I've seen different sides to my parents over the years. Now my dad's a bit more settled in the relationship he's with. He's older. He's the person that he's with has a daughter that just had a child. He has follow-up questions about children, like, when am I going to have my own grandchildren type thing. That's the only follow-up he gets. But, yeah, I mean, no, he won't follow up. No.
But also in the sense of, like, if you say to him, Dad, why do men eat cheese twice a day? He won't be like, so which man was this? And did, like, is he quite good at not saying that?
No, he won't.
And ask him questions and he won't pry.
He'll forget, maybe because his memory's crap, I don't know, but he just won't follow up. But my dad's never really been like that. No, he's not like that. He's just like matter of fact, like, he'll just tell me at a moment and then he'll forget. And then it'll be like something like, why didn't you respond back to my YouTube about spirituality? I'm like, okay. I can see what's the most important thing here. But
And does your mum ask you about your dating life? Will she ask you questions specifically? Have you been on a date, or who's you dating recently? And
yeah, so I'll beep out this name. So with I did tell her that he had a bit of mental instability, and my mum's like, I hope you're not with that, you know. That's what she said. She doesn't it's not like a question, it's like rhetorical. So I hope you just, I'm like, yeah, I'm not. That's what it's like. It's more like a warning.
Yeah, it's quite funny, isn't it? Do you think that your brother can go to her about dating advice. I know it's slightly different in the
My brother talks to my mom about absolutely everything. Some things I'm like, do you need to do that? Do you need to tell my mom that? Do you need to just, that's what their relationship's like. That's what they're very, very close. I can't explain, like, how you're talking about your mom. That's definitely how my brother is with his mom. My mom it's really it's really interesting, because I don't know, like I said, I just think it's about timing. Like, the time that my mom was very in her hurting, I think the peak of hurting, so to speak, I was getting all of that. And now my brother was so young, so he wouldn't even comprehend. So some of the things that I would say to him, I did this, I went through this, blah, blah, he'll be like, what are you talking about? And he'll be like, I don't even know what you're on about. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, if only that, you know, he was a fly on the wall. But yeah, I took a lot of hits. And that might have, obviously, it's affected me now, because I feel like I have to get as much money as possible. I have to protect. All I keep thinking about is protecting myself. But I remember this one time I was on the train, and this guy was saying, "Oh, you're this, you're that. Why not married?" This was ages ago. This is when I was maybe 24, and he was like, "I was like, I have to protect myself." I remember just saying to him, "I have to just make sure that I just can. I've got enough money to keep me going if I was single." He goes, "But aren't you just telling yourself that it's going to happen? Why are you saying to protect yourself as though it's going to happen?" And I think at that moment, I did think, like, wow, I'm telling myself subconsciously to get ready for this single period, when actually it's only because my mom has told me, try not to be like that. So I've tried to be like that, but almost being like that kind of thing. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting dynamics in, like, families, and how sometimes protecting or telling somebody not to be is sometimes not the best thing, because there's a constant worry that you will be like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like telling yourself you're going to fail before you've even failed.
Yeah, that's
it. Like having that, it's great to have a plan B, but then it's almost like preparing for failure.
Yeah,
like yourself that you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, yeah, it's true. It's true. It's definitely true. Do you think that since you've kind of gotten to a better place with your mum, that has positively affected your dating life, or how you kind of perceive love? Or do you think that still needs work and time?
Definitely needs work and time. It's not conscious, it's subconsciously. It's little things that I notice that I do. Like, I'll do it and then I'll think, oh shit, I'm doing it the way that I think I should do it to try and overcompensate, if that makes sense, for whatever I think is going to happen, but really it's not going to happen. It's all about my mind. So I think it's about teaching yourself to kind of, like, go back on yourself and just live in the moment and just be free with it. I think it's about freeing your mind from what your thoughts of what you could be. But that's not even just me being raised by a single parent. I think it's people in general. Almost some people that are single, I think they're locked in this thing in their mind, like a cage, like, oh, I'm worried, I feel like it's going to be like this, I don't know what's the next step, I'm worried about this, blah, 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 whatever. But maybe it's just about the process of just freeing the mind and just going with the flow, like not being afraid to put yourself out there, being able to embrace not failure, but yeah, this person might not be the one, but get up and go and keep going. Don't just stop and mourn and just, you know, just keep, you have to keep going until you find where you need to find yourself.
Yeah, it's very, very true. It's very, very true. I met a guy quite recently, actually, and he was a very masculine man, an alpha male, I guess you would call it. And we talked a little bit about mums and families and whatever else. And it kind of became, he was quite a misogynistic pig. We were watching like a 90 Day Fiancé spin-off, and a guy was having a problem with his girlfriend. So he went to his female friend and was like, "Hey, I'm having a problem with my girlfriend." And then the guy was like, this guy that I was with, he was like, "Oh, why is he going to his female friend? You know, females don't know nothing. Why is he going to a female friend for?" And I was thinking, hello? Hello, do you not see me here?
Crazy.
You can't see that in front of me. And it was you know, that kind of level anyway. A few other things happened like that. And then when he sort of, I don't remember how exactly we got onto it, but we were talking about family and, no, we were talking about women being independent and women feminism and everything else, all the things that I stand for. And he was kind of saying like, you know, women, and this is, this thing, it's a bit like Kevin Samuels, right? There's, there's an element of truth in a little bit of what you're saying, but you're packaging it wrong. And then also behind what you're saying is a lot of misogyny that's not going to be corrected. So he kind of said, you know, women try too hard to be independent and it pushes men away. Cool. There's an element of truth in that. Fine. They said, yes. And this is exactly why there is so, I see all the time, the women in my family, they push men away all the time. That's what I don't understand. They push. And it's stupid. And it's dumb. And he went on and on and on and on. And went about it.
Okay.
Right. So at this point I was like, okay, this you're clearly hurt. You've clearly got some resentment issues. You live at home, you care for your mum, you go out shopping for her, etc. But you're not happy in the situation and you probably blame your mum for not having a dad around. And then there's this level of resentment that's happening here that ultimately needs to be dealt with. And in your case, what it's actually led to is it's led to a hate of women.
Oh, it's so sad.
Very.
That's when it becomes really sad for the man. That's when I feel like he should have went to therapy, because what it is really sad. Actually, I feel like these things could be they could be resolved literally by you just talking about it and freeing the mind. Everybody's life is individual, and like you said, I think you get to the point where you start to see people, your mother and dad or whatever, as adults. And that's when you become an adult, hopefully you would see the problems that they went through and try and compare it to how you are going through things and dealing with things. So I don't think it's fair to be like, you know, this is how that person went through a whole 50, 60 years, you know, getting through life. No one's got a manual to say this is how life is. And not all marriages are successful and not all successful relationships are successful. But so I think, oh, it's just so sad to hear that. And I think for me, I've never resented my mum, but I think I have been close to almost blaming. You have to kind of like pull yourself out of it, especially when I went to university and there was a lot of people that had a lot of happy relationships. Like their mum and dad was in great relationships and everybody was really happy. And I was just like, but why, you know, I was really like kind of like, but why is this happening? Like, why? You know, it's so funny because I always say that when in our hometown there's a lot of similar things going on in terms of like single parents, whatever, so I didn't see any problems. But I always say when I went to university, my eyes were very much open to this whole other world of people having perfect relationships and having money flowing all the time. And I just was like, "Rah, this is actually real," which is really funny, but it was like an eye opener. But I'm just saying that, but not everything's perfect. Everybody's going through their own problems. And it takes a lot of people to go through that. It takes a lot for people to get that, I think. But let's talk about grandparents as well, because I know we're very close to our grandparents. And that generation in general. So particularly, obviously, grandma, since we're talking about mummies. And I was very close to my grandma. Like, even the other day, I was actually quite tearful that my grandma's not here. And that's how many years later, 6 years later, I was very close to her. And she, that generation anyway, they stayed together through thick and thin around the parts and everything. And like I said, that's probably the only example of a relationship in my life that I think, oh yeah, this is quite good. But that generation in general was crazy. And do you ever ask the people that you're dating about the relationship with their grandparents? Does that ever come up? Or are you ever curious?
No, because I see my relationship with my grandparents as a privilege.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Why?
A couple of reasons. First of all, not everybody's grandparents are alive.
Yeah.
Or were alive. not everybody's grandparents live in the UK.
That's very true. Mm-hmm.
And I also realised that not everybody was as close to their grandparents. I think there are a lot of people, maybe, I don't know. Because what happens also is it's a cycle. So it's like I've dated people whose mothers did not speak to their own mothers. And then therefore they never knew their grandparents. And I've dated a couple of people like that. And so, yeah, for me, it's not a given. And I don't ask about it because not everybody kind of gets it. Not everybody understands it. And everybody's got a very different outlook on grandparents, I think. I've realized, you know, when I was growing up, I was the same as you. Like, my grandparents were always around. My grandma was heavily involved. My grandma was like our second mother, especially to my brother. Like, my brother was, my mum was even saying the other day, that my grandma was really close to my brother, which kind of made way for me. So when I came along, I could then like latch on to my mum because my brother was with my grandma, kind of thing. It was, yeah. But I don't always ask about it. And I don't know. Do you think it makes a difference in Yeah. with people that you've dated, what they're like with their grandparents?
I think it does a little bit. I know all the facts that you said, all the factors are very, very relevant, very, very valid. But I think it warms my heart to know. It just makes me feel like, oh, that's so, yes, you get what I'm doing.
Is it because you've got something in common?
Maybe it's that. Also, yeah, I feel like, yeah, I think it's something in common. And I think, like, when you have your grandparents, I know not all everybody will understand, but that bond is very soft, it's very friendly, it's very warm. So it means that you've had that kind of influence, and that's what's in my head. Because I remember at one point, I remember saying to my mum many occasions, I'm not going home, I'm staying with grandma. And imagine, like, a mum just hearing that. Crazy. But I literally used to be like, I'm staying here. I don't know what's going on. And I had so many fond memories with my grandma. But I think it does warm my heart a little bit, and it's nice. But like you said, not everybody has the same experience, and some people had a lot of tough love for their grandparents. Boy, a lot of tough love. So I don't even know if it's love, I think it's just toughness. Especially with different cultures, different backgrounds. I've heard some stories, but even that has an influence on like who you're dating, because many times I've heard people be like, oh, you know, your mum, my grandma, or you, not all the time to me, but I'm saying that the traits are there or the values are there. So it's funny how it does trickle down, especially to men. I think like they do take this whole stance of what the woman is, like, you know, the woman in her family. And if you replicate that, because even like the sisters, oh my God, you know, if a guy's got a sister, boy, and if they're close to them, that's just a whole different person to it.
Yeah.
There's a whole different person to have to get on side with. Shit. God. I hate it. Please don't bring any guys that have sisters around me. Too much, man. This is like going into the dragon's den, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's hard work, boy.
It is. It's like a different layer.
Sisters are just misunderstood.
It's not misunderstood, it's the protectiveness of it. They and because if they're your age as well, it's even worse, because they're probably thinking, I know what you do, or something. Oh, you can't fool me, you know, like that's what I feel. I'm thinking, shit, I ain't trying to fool anybody. Obviously, I've been there many times, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've had too many.
Yeah, I think extended family in general, I think just women in the man's life, I think it's just difficult to maneuver around. But I think, again, it's kind of like understanding that your mum is a daughter and seeing your mum's relationship with her mum as well, I think is really important. And I think that makes a huge difference, because then seeing how your mum was loved and then whittling that down to how you're loved. Like my mum and my grandma, for example, were very close. They used to clash because my grandma was very protective, like overprotective of my mum. And they used to kind of clash. But my grandma was always, my mum and my grandma were always together. Like my mum would be like, my grandma would just say, I'm coming, I'm tagging along. And then the other day, yeah, I went to Westfield, my mum was like, I'm coming. I was like, okay, so your grandma now, like. But it's just that, you know, that's just the relationship that they had, and that's great. But yeah, it's also when you, again, deeping it and thinking about, okay, when my mum was going through that, how did my grandma take that? How did she respond to that? And that's why I'm watching, like, I'm watching this show on Discovery Plus, and it follows this family in the Dominican Republic. And the guy, so it's this guy called Pedro, okay, and he was raised by his mother. Him and his sister were raised by his mother. His dad was never around. And now he's trying to explore, like, what happened? Like, he's asking the questions because he never asked those questions before. So now he's trying to, like, find, ask his mom what happened. His mom says, your dad was married, but I don't, like, I'm not really going to take any more than that. So he's trying to get the answers from his mum, but his mum doesn't want to talk about it, you know. But obviously it's frustrating for him because he's like, that's my history.
Yeah.
So then he's gone to his grandma, and he said to his grandma, like, what happened? Like, when mum brought home a married man, what did you say to that? And his grandma said, he had money. What can I say? He used to come and bring gifts for everybody for the village. And, you know, he, what could I say? That's what we do in the Dominican, was what she said. And then she said, your granddad had other families too. Like, and for this guy, he was trying to find out about his dad, Pedro. He was heartbroken because for him, seeing his mother as the other woman was, yeah, really hard. Then seeing, yeah, his grandma like that again was hard. And then he was thinking, I've now been stemmed from this.
Oh no.
Now I'm a product of all of this. And that was another thing that was very, very hard for him. And he actually broke down in tears. He was crying because he was having like an existential crisis. Yes, it's hard. Yeah, and I think when you do all that digging, it's kind of, I don't know, like, have you ever had that conversation with your mom? Like, what happened with me, with you and dad? Not that you have to say what happened, but have you ever had that conversation?
This is what I'm saying. My relationship was very open. I already heard it every day kind of thing. So okay, it was very open book. I already knew what happened. I already knew how. I already knew all of it. That's what I'm saying. I was very exposed by my mom quite a young age. I already knew it. I didn't have to ask the question.
You've never spoken to her in your adulthood and said, like, how did this feel? Or, like,
yeah, all the time. Yeah. Yeah. So for me, the question is, yeah, I it's very open. So I think although people may think, oh my God, that's crazy. That's what I'm saying. People might think, oh, that's a bit too much. And I've seen shows where the mom will go, oh, I don't want to say too much to the child. I'm thinking, wow, I wish I had that little boundary thing happening because I did not. But I think the beauty of it is that me, my brother, my mom are just very close. We'll talk about anything and anything together, like anything and anything. We just come out of our mouths, and it's not a bad thing. And it's just, that's, I love the relationship. Even tonight I was there putting the tree up, and we're just talking about some crazy craziness. But I just thought it was so funny how we just was just able to talk like adults. But we've had that relationship from ages because my mum made me an adult quite young. And that's why I always say when I'm with my friends, I'm just so playful and so funny and just let go, because I've had to have that quite seriousness quite quickly in my household. But I think there's beauty in it as I've got older. Maybe different when I was younger. But yeah, I think the openness has already been there for time. What about you? Do you ever talk about that with your mum, or do you think it's quite a difficult, sensitive subject?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to sound strange because I just said, you know, we're really open and we talk, yeah, about everything. But there are lots of things that we haven't spoken about or that are very much drip fed. So my mum might say something. She might volunteer a bit of information. I'll say, oh, okay. And then I'm you know, putting the puzzle pieces together kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I still have lots of questions. I still have lots of things that I want to ask, but I don't know if I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And I also don't know if my mum's ready, because I know that my mum wants to protect us, first okay. of all. And I also think that she obviously wants to protect her image our image of her as well. Mm-hmm. I think that there's an element of I don't think she's necessarily protecting herself.
Yeah.
But I think it's like protecting the image of herself, you know, to us kind of thing, and how we see our mother, you know, obviously, because yes, she's a woman, but as a mother, you still want to be mum, don't you? You don't really want to expose everything. So I don't know. I think, yeah, there's still definitely some like digging, not digging, but definitely some questions that I'm still kind of waiting for the right time to ask or wanting to have that conversation.
Do you think it's always going to be heavy on your heart, so to speak, or heavy on your shoulders until you know those things? Or do you think you need to know now?
I think it's more out of curiosity.
Okay.
I don't think it's in order for me to heal or to move forward. Mm-hmm. I think I've got enough of the information in order to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's more just, so what happened here? And like, how, you know, what's this? And what went down here? And, you know, I just, you know, just things, just kind of just want to know.
Yes, definitely.
And I want to know more from her perspective, as in I want to know so that I can understand her better, not to understand me and my situation. I don't need that. Yeah. It's not for that. It's for her. I want to get to know my mum better. I want to understand her as a woman, as a person.
Yeah. But I think it's also interesting you said not for me, but actually I can vouch for this because obviously I've been through it and I've been exposed to it. When you do know certain things, you'll actually find out how you react to things. So even though you'll probably say, oh, not for me, but no, it is, because your mum is a fragment of you. And it's interesting because you might see the similarities of how she may have reacted back then, or may have done certain things. So now, like I said, that's what's happened. The opposite has happened. So because I know how my mum reacted to certain things very, very young, I've tried not to do that, or tried to do that, or whatever I've done. So what happens, I'm all constantly always overthinking about things, which is a bad thing, I think. And that's why I said about freeing the mind. But I think there's pros and cons to it. And when you do find out, when you do want to know more, you'll probably think, oh, that's probably how I would have reacted, or how I shouldn't, or would have not reacted. And it's quite interesting to see what you would do versus what she would do, and vice versa, whatever. I think it's very interesting. Yeah. And I think sometimes that's what I think about, like my dad in certain situations. I do think, oh, I could see more similarities of what I would do that's similar to my dad. Because I always say my brother acts like my mom, like mannerisms, whatever. But I probably have more mannerisms from my dad. I've been told that many times from, you know, extended family. So it is interesting to see and to dig deeper into those elements if you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can definitely believe that.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting, mummy issues, whatever, and highlighting things that people find maybe difficult to talk about, because there are people that are in, you know, they don't have any fragmentation to their family, so to speak, and they are with their mum and dad, and then they may get angry at their mum for not speaking up, or not actually voicing their opinion, or being quite in their feminine, or being quite quiet or introverted, whatever you want to call it, and getting angry at them. I've seen it before. Like, one of my friends was saying, I was angry at my mum for just not being her own self in a relationship, and I'm thinking, wow, like, and that's affected you now. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, damn, right, okay. So it's different types of things happening to people, even in successful relationships. What people would think is a successful relationship, they may have been angry that they weren't as independent enough. Like, why didn't you follow your dream? Why did you do? And it's so funny how people have got these underlying issues that they need to talk about, and then you realize that everybody's got issues. And there isn't an ideal, because I've never heard I've heard people that just don't comment on anything, but there's always a question like, oh, I would have done that different. I would have done that differently or better. Yeah. But there is no ideal. That's what I've realized.
Imagine pushing out a whole child and then just to have them grow up and start judging you one day.
Exactly.
We are so rude. Children are actually rude.
Exactly. And there's no manual to say, oh, this is how you do it, mate. Mm-hmm. You're on your own, especially single parents out there, mums and dads that are single. You know, you have to put food on the table while doing this and doing that. You know, it's a lot. And that's why now, as an adult, like I said, when my mom did certain things or had to look after my grandma, become a carer for 2 years, giving up her salary. And we struggled a lot for my grandma in a sense, in a good way. But even that, and she was a single parent, I think to my mom, how did you do that? She's like, well, I did tell you. I was like, yeah, you did actually. So I'm listening now because I'm looking at it from a different perspective. But before it was like, why you get angry? Like, why did you do that? But it's all about maturity and growing up and realizing these things.
Mm, absolutely. And our parents also growing up and realizing things as well.
Mm, 100%. So yeah, I think that rounds it up, really. But yeah, hopefully you guys had fun listening to all of us. Well, very, very profound stories about daddy and mummy issues. I don't know if we'll put this out together. I don't know. Like, except like one after the other, I don't know. But yeah, hopefully you've got some reflecting about your own mums and dads.
Yeah, no, hopefully we're just like opening things up a little bit just for you to either kind of do your own thinking and reflecting, or even just to have these conversations. I think talking to your parents and trying to understand them as adults, as women and men, I think is actually really important. If you can do that, obviously not everyone's in the place, and I get it. But I think one day, I think we should all aspire to doing that for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
1,000,000%. Yes. And yeah, and grateful because we are able to reflect and be at that place to do that now, you know, because like you said, some people may not be at that like place or want to be at that place, but can't because they have their own demons and challenges to do. So yeah, anyways.
But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at The Dating Game Podcast, on Twitter at Dating Game Pod, and use the hashtag Dating Game Podcast to get involved in the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. And we will see you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.